Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Indie Aussie Truth. Back with us is Larry, the Desert Shirt Johnson.
This is
This
sort of another variety of it's a survival. It's an escape innovation t-shirt, a sear shirt.
is blend in with the sand. Nobody sees you during
Right.
the day.
Yeah, that's appropriate for Florida. We got a little bit of that out here.
You know, guys, we talk on the show a lot about wars, power politics, particularly wars of attrition. And as I've said many times, as much more brilliant minds than myself have said over the years, armies travel on their stomachs. But in this case, it's a lot more than food. You have to arm with modern weapon systems your soldiers. So armies travel not only on their stomachs, but also on logistics, supply chains, and even resources, the resources that are in the ground. Now, everybody talks about purified, processed, rare earth minerals that mostly come the magnets that come out of China. But there's other minerals that are mundane. Minerals such as tungsten. Tungsten that is critical for everything. Almost every weapon system that Washington is producing right now. Every jet, every tank, every ship, a lot of the submunitions and the main gun rounds, missiles, in some way, all of them contain tungsten. The U.S. hasn't mined tungsten since 2015, 10 years, preferring to buy from abroad. But something that these last conflicts and the Gulf War, what they've shown, is that the American supply chain is actually very, very brittle. Washington's understanding this, and they're moving as fast as they can to solve this gaping hole. This is an issue that they're planning on closing. So America needs its own tungsten mine. I mean, 2015 is the last time they mined it. And tungsten has shown itself, especially in these last conflicts that Washington has gotten itself into, it's shown that it plays an oversized role, more critical than most elements, much larger role than most people understand. It's not just a metal, it's national resilience and survival.
The U.S. government is putting billions of dollars on the line. So the question is, can Volt Strategic Mining get the job done? Volt's operating model is straightforward. Acquire historic mines, use modern exploitation tech to maximize value. You know, the first rule of business, as they say, is location, location, location. So tungsten, which is priced near record highs, and Volt is right there in the place that it needs to be. They're not looking for new plays. They're not out exploring new areas that are high risk because maybe there is something there, maybe there isn't something there. They're located in mining-friendly states, such as Nevada, where it's their flagship operation, and they're bringing back, revitalizing tungsten mines that were first put online back in World War II under the Defense Minerals Exploration Act. These are the mines that helped bring the minerals that defended the free world and beyond World War II. These are proven deposits, and they're going to be filling the needs of the U.S. government that are now in existence.
So Interstage Right, Volt Strategic Mining. It's trading under KNOX in Canada. It's KNOX. That's its sign in Canada, and KNXFF. That's the sign in the U.S. They're in the midst of setting up the biggest tungsten strategic project, not just in the U.S., but possibly in all of North America. So what I'm saying here is that this is a de-risked opportunity. They're not looking for new plays. This is a proven area. And tungsten is key, and globally, its prices are skyrocketing. Governments, corporations, they've all realized how much they need it, not just for military, but also for civilian uses. And they're all scrambling right now to get their hands and lock in reliable sources. So areas like the Great Basin. So this is an area in Nevada. And it's getting some serious attention. This is, by the way, where the flagship operation project of Volt is located in Nevada. This is North America's historic tungsten belt. The USGS estimated 168,000 tons of tungsten oxide could be located in this area. I mean, and then again, and this is a proven reserve. These are proven reserves that were exploited for quite a long time before one reason or another they were put down and people started importing. And consider today's high prices. That could be an equivalent to that 168 tons. It could be equivalent to $30 to $50 billion in the ground, and probably higher because prices are going to continue rising. Demand is skyrocketing, and markets are catching on to all of these shortages. Don't get me wrong. There's smart people working there. They're figuring this out. That oh my God, we need to lock in these sources. The position could appreciate a lot more than it is right now. And a lot of value, and Volt sitting right in the middle of that value.
Now this is where it all gets real interesting. In under 12 months, so less than a year, the U.S. government has taken five major steps to rebuild its mineral supply chains, which are in a horrible condition. This includes the Executive Order 14231 for 14231, Project Volt. There are 55 foreign ministries focused directly on these critical minerals. All this is driven by the fact that the U.S. no longer mines tungsten commercially since 2015. This is why Washington has committed $12 billion for Project Volt and additional federal support, all to establish and secure domestic supply. Washington is in overdrive. Let's not kid ourselves, as they tend to be at when they realize how bad off they are. This has become a national priority. The Pentagon is now actively funding and developing domestic supply chains for the very tungsten that is in the ground at the Volt project. This is an active White House directive. Volt is working hard, systematically assembling what will shape up to be probably the biggest massive U.S. tungsten, and not just U.S., probably North American tungsten profile. Portfolio. If you want to learn more about this, check out my description. There's a link in the description that'll take you to Volt's page where you can learn more about the opportunities that Volt has. And again, a special thanks to Volt Strategic Mining for making today's video possible. And now back to the video.
Hello, dear friends. Just want to remind you, if you like this video, or you like what you hear, click like, subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet, send it to your friends. Let's grow this channel. Maybe we can finally hit it up to 100,000. That'd be a good round number for the summer. So let me know, leave some comments, and give a thumbs up. So look forward to seeing you in the next video. Cheers.
Well, on the beaches.
Yeah.
There's no desert in Florida.
Even inland, you got sandy. Sandy soil in some areas.
Well, yeah, where the sinkholes don't show up.
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue.
Hey, is it true that Walt Disney bought all the granite in the panhandle? Well, in the actual, would be called the panhandle, the bottom portion, the actual peninsula. I read somewhere that Disney had bought up all the actual solid ground, granite ground.
You mean in the Florida Keys, or the panhandle's the basically the arm that sticks out towards Mississippi, Alabama.
No, the actual peninsula itself.
Yeah, so down below that would be, yeah. I doubt that. This isn't much of a granite state. You know, this ain't New Hampshire.
Yeah. True, very true. You know,
tropical with lots of sand and mud.
You remember that plane that disappeared in the swamps? It was a low-cost airline, got hit by lightning. Yeah. It just went down, and the whole plane just disappeared.
Yeah.
And no, they never recovered any bodies, and never just got sucked in. Well, I was reading a book on all that, and apparently there's an atomic bomb somewhere inside the swamps too. From a lot of the 1960s, it was being blown over. Same thing, plane got hit by lightning, went the bomb went with it, and it somewhere
still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's down in the Everglades, it ain't getting out soon. Those are It's pretty rough territory.
Yeah.
Unless you're an anaconda.
Oh, yeah. You guys got those all over the place these
Or
days.
an alligator. Anaconda, alligators, they do okay.
Yeah, well, so the chimpanzees. Yeah, I saw them. I think I was 14 the first time I saw them. I was well, the only time I saw them actually. I was with my parents on vacation, and they took a glass bottom boat trip into the Everglades, and were showing them. We're being shown these freshwater springs and all that, and they're like, "You can swim in there. Gators don't go in there. They don't like the taste of the water. It's too minerally." And then all of a sudden, the guy's like, "Look up there!" And there's like this family of chimps just swinging across
Yeah.
in the Everglades. And he said it was from the Tarzan movies in the 20s. They didn't know what to do
Oh
with the chimps, they just released them.
my God. I didn't realize that.
Said there was like 20 of them, they released them, and they've been multiplying since.
Huh. Yeah, because chimps aren't really native to Florida. Yeah, you do have some monkeys,
Are there monkeys native to Florida?
yeah, there are a few.
Huh. Okay. I didn't know that. I thought they were only in Central America and further south.
Well, they may have been imported at some point, but they're here.
Was one of those monkeys imported into South Carolina? No, that's not a racial slur, by the way. That's
Lindsey Graham's traveling companion.
wow, jeez, the pocket in his monk, the monkey in his pocket.
Yeah.
Also, his sister, I hear, is now going to be the senator from South Carolina.
Yeah, she is a complete unknown. Hopefully she was adopted, so she didn't have the same genetic makeup as him. So
Was
maybe,
she?
yeah. So maybe she's not as batshit crazy as he was. But the when the news of the when the news of his death first broke, early Saturday morning, no, or excuse me, early Sunday morning, I didn't think much of it, and then the next day. I get I get some messages from guys still in the military, still with access to stuff going on the ops floor at the Pentagon. And they were saying senior officers are talking about suggesting he'd been killed in Kyiv. So that's what led me to start looking at the timeline. And if you assume, and this is the key assumption, if you assume that he stayed overnight in Kyiv from Friday to Saturday, then the only way he could have gotten home would have been taking a 7 o'clock train and then taking a plane from Warsaw to the United States. The earliest he could have gotten home would have been, or gotten into the States, not physically at his house, would have been 9 p.m.
Wait,
just because it's a 20-hour travel time.
are there planes from the U.S. to Warsaw? Because I remember
Yeah, yeah,
traveling that
yeah.
way,
Well,
and we had to go through Frankfurt.
if nothing else, you get a charter flight.
Oh
So I'm
yeah,
just
that's
saying,
true.
yeah. So you could have a military charter flight. So that's, but so I'm assuming that if again, if you have to do connections and commercial, that's a whole nother matter. But this was,
Right.
I'm sure this was a charter flight, and that's the way, everybody who's traveled from the United States, whether Joe Biden or Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Richard Blumenthal, Senator. All of them, they take the train. It's an overnight train going. So if they stayed overnight, now, someone sent me a note saying he didn't stay overnight. He left on the 7 p.m. train out of Kyiv, left Friday night. So, he arrives in Kyiv about 11 a.m. has lunch, sees Zelensky. Maybe they do some blow together. Cocaine
Wait, did
cowboys.
you say they do some blow together or they blow together?
Well, that gets you. That's a good question. When you get
Oh.
to when you mention blowing, getting around those two guys, it does have lots of different meanings.
It can.
Then he went on a tour of a drone factory, and all I can assume is that the Russians are keeping track of his movements, because they said, "Well, wherever Lindsay goes, we go." And I don't think that they hit the spot while he was still there. That was initially some thought. He then held a press conference out in the one of the public squares after that visit. Then
I'm sorry to interrupt you. The drone that he was taking a photograph with, the anti-drone drone, Its nickname is the penis.
Was it? Yeah, well,
I don't notice a smile on his face.
it had phallic significance, which may explain why Lindsay was so enthralled with holding it.
Sorry to interrupt, but I couldn't resist that one.
Yeah, no, listen, the jokes just write themselves. So in tandem with so after that, he would have had to head directly to the train station. He could have caught the if you will, the midnight train to Warsaw, not the midnight train to Georgia, and made his way back to the States in time to get home, talk to Trump at 7, and then keel over dead from a aortic aneurysm, ruptured aortic aneurysm. And that's, it's an awful way to die. My younger brother died that way 4 years ago now, and it was, he was in incredible pain, and it just, hey, you had hit very, very, very few chances of surviving that are, real low, to say the least. So, he's gone, and I think America's better off for it,
The world's better off for it. Well, most of the world.
but it still doesn't change U.S. policy, unfortunately. And Trump's using it as an excuse to try to impose more tariffs and sanctions on Russia, which is further going to alienate, Putin can't continue to say we're going to have negotiations and talks with the United States. At some point, he's going to have to tell Trump to go fuck off.
I agree. I agree. Which, by the way, if those, I'm not saying those sanctions are even going to work, but since they're aimed at oil, and by the way, and uranium, which America buys from Russia, enriched uranium, considering the U.S. has already got oil issues, and there's already a shortage of oil, and Trump's going to make even a, try to make even a bigger shortage of oil.
No, that doesn't make sense. Well, see, and this is the thing. Now, I know that you understand this. I'll chastise you for not having explained this to me clearly before, because I got it from somebody else. But the way the media reports on oil, that it's like oil is oil is oil. No, it's not. Brent and West Texas Intermediate, that's all this sweet oil, sweet baby sweet. Well, the world has an abundance of sweet oil, and the problem comes that, and maybe you can explain this in more detail, but when they build a refinery, the refinery has to be built, if it's going to handle sweet oil, it has to be built in one way. If it's going to handle the sour crude, it's going to have to be built in a different way. And as I understand it, within the oil industry, they'd much rather refine the sour crude than the sweet, because there's a bigger profit margin. You can make more money off of it. So, when you see that the price of Brent's going up, or the price of West Texas Intermediate is going up, it's meaningless. Okay, so what? Because all that's going to affect is the price of gasoline, primarily. Now, there can you build a refinery that will be designed to produce from mid-level distillates? I don't even know. Can you even get mid-level distillates out of sweet crude?
You can.
Okay, so it's out of that that you produce diesel and aviation fuel, but it is, again, because of the higher price of the sweet oil, that would make a higher price for that diesel and aviation fuel. So that's why in the United States, 70% of these refineries are designed for sour crude, not sweet. So here you got this contradiction. The United States is producing just a boatload and a ton of sweet oil, and it can export it right and left. It's got more than we can consume. But we have got to import the sour crude because we don't have enough. And those refineries without that sour crude are not going to produce aviation fuel and diesel fuel. So that's what happened with the shuttering the Strait of Hormuz. The oil that comes out of there is sour crude. It's high in sulfur.
The oil that comes out of Iran is sour crude. The oil that comes out of Saudi Arabia and not Qatar, because Qatar is gas. Saudi Arabia and Kuwait is all sweet like crude.
Is it really?
But
Oh.
Iran is sour crude. Iran is sour crude.
How about Iraq?
Iraq, I think, is sweet crude also.
Really? Okay.
They mix them all the time too, because it's not just sour. It's sour heavy crude, so it's really viscous. I mean, I've seen statues made out of oil. And some of the oil in China is so viscous, it's actually basically a rock. It's like a soft sandstone rock, and they carve statues out of oil, quite literally, because that's how viscous it is. And if your oil is too viscous, you normally would mix in light crude with it. That's what Ural brand is. It's basically a mix of really viscous sour crude with some lighter crudes, and you get the
Okay.
Ural brand. There's other countries that produces the sand oil, or oil sands, I'm sorry, in Canada. They produce it,
Right.
and I didn't know that. I was corrected on that one. So I said that they didn't. Oh no, they do. And I'm like, oh yeah, I was wrong. Let's see who else produces it.
Well, it's Mexico. You got the three sources, the United States. Well, with the U.S. used to have five sources: Canada, Mexico, Venezuela. Venezuela's gone up a little bit now, but not much because it's got internal problems. Russia, and then out of the Persian Gulf, and I guess it was
Iran.
primarily Iranian oil. So the point to all this is, it wasn't since, initially I had assumed, again wrongly, that the shortage started on February 28th. It did not. There were like 40, 45 days because there were still ships out at sea full of oil that could offload. But when did they offload? They offloaded around April 7th. Huh, what happened on April 7th? The U.S. decided it was a good time to get a ceasefire with Iran. You think that was a coincidence?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so that's where so the oil shortage started in earnest around April 7th, April 15th. But the United States mitigated it by on March 11th by withdrawing from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, primarily sour crude. So it has not suffered the severe shortage yet. It's been able to mitigate it. Now that amount coming out of the SPR is coming to an end, and the short let and we got not just in the United States. We're looking at a global shortage. That's the problem.
The majority of the oil that those U.S. particularly southern refineries, the majority of that viscous heavy sour crude was coming out of Venezuela. Venezuela's got a whole lake of like basically tar, liquid tar, that they can you can just drive up there and fill it up. But yeah, they through various reasons, Chavez and Maduro are part of it because they took a lot of money out of the oil industry for the different projects, and that money needed to go back in to repair it. And the U.S. that just embargoed or sanctioned the parts. Venezuela is like down to 800,000 barrels a day, and
I mean, and
it's a
that's the
minor
point.
player.
The United States cannot make up. There's not like an alternative source.
Not now,
So
anyways.
this is, and now with re shutting the Gulf, the shutting the Strait of Hormuz again, and reimposing the oil sanctions on Iran. Good God, the United States stupidity is exceeded only by that of Saudi Arabia. Because look at what Saudi Arabia did in the last 36 hours. So they've been basically at peace with the Houthis. And so Saudi Arabia, while not able to export much oil out of the Persian Gulf, was sending about 7 million barrels across the pipeline to Yanbu, which is on the Red Sea. And there it could load up on tankers, and the tankers could sail unfettered through the Bab el-Mandab Strait to the south or Suez Canal to the north. So the Saudis, and I don't know, I guess MBS, somebody came up with this great idea. Say, hey, tell you what, let's bomb the Houthis. Let's start a war with the Houthis so that they'll then start bombing our airfields, and they'll bomb Yanbu with missiles so they'll destroy our oil terminal right there. and to shut the Strait of the Bab el-Mandab Strait. Is
Sounds
this
like
a
a
great
plan.
idea or what?
Absolutely. Good weekend plan.
And I'm thinking, if I'm sitting there in Saudi Arabia looking at this strategically, saying, we need to keep this cash flow going, and we want to make sure that nothing interferes with Yanbu. Tell you what, the only one that could really fuck that up are the Houthis. Let's take some chocolate and flowers to the Houthis. Maybe I'll maybe take them out to dinner. Maybe give them a gift or something. Let's butter them up. Let's make sure they are our friends. But
Absolutely.
no, we're going to show them that how big our dick is, even after we've had the previous 6 years to try to beat them, and they beat us. They defeated us, the Saudis, and then they followed that up by defeating the United States in the Red Sea. Who, what kind of imbeciles inhabit our MBS is a moron, not a smart man at all.
I'm thinking when Zelensky was visiting them, he left them a couple of really big packages as presents. I don't know what else to this.
Say
You're right.
hello to my little friend,
Let's go bomb the Houthis. You're right. I mean, this is about as stupid as it gets. So hold my beer. If they were drinking beer.
Even though they're supposed to, well, I've been around. Years ago, when Pat Lang was still alive, he took me on a trip, and we met with one of these Saudis in London at his, special place, a restaurant. Man, he was serving up $800 bottles of wine that night.
Nice.
Pretty good for a Muslim who didn't drink,
When I was in
and he was imbibing, I will add. So, the hypocrisy there is quite blatant.
when I was a military advisor in Georgia, so we had a bunch of guys from these Arab countries. It was supposed to be, oh, they love their pork shashlik, and they love the cha-cha and the wine and whatever else. So yeah, they're drunk half the time. But whenever somebody new came in from one of these Arab countries, they'd all become so holy. And they're all, first of all,
Yeah.
a couple of Jordanians came in. If you're from Egypt, why would you give a damn? Right? But no, they all became holy and they're all standing there looking.
Yeah,
Oh,
I think
he's asked about
you need
drinking. Go.
yeah. Well, I think you need to clarify for the listening audience. When you said cha-cha, you weren't talking about a dance. You're talking about a Georgian liquor that
Georgia makes this
I've had some cha-cha experiences.
Oh, so did I. Georgia makes a spirit out of grapes, so they distill them. So it's not wine, it's a distilled they call it vodka, but I'm a vodka snob. Vodka is made only out of grain, not potatoes like certain other nations make. Just straight out of grain. But they make the cha-cha out of grapes. I mean, they distill the hell out of them. So yeah, it's 40, 50 proof.
Oh man.
A little more than wine.
In fact, I one night I drank so much that one of the half the team of Vovon and Lexus had to put me to bed.
Cha-cha's got a kick to it. I still prefer vodka if I had the choice between the two, but more I'm more of a Scotch whiskey man anyways, single malt.
There you go.
So no offense to my Irish friends, but I still prefer the Scotch. But yeah,
I'm with you.
and they'd all stand there and they're waiting to see. And these guys go, "Hey, where can we get some barbecue or something to drink? Party time again." And they're all back to boozing it up. So yeah, and Fort Knox, that too, we'd have officers come in, exchange officers. The Saudis are some of the worst, they and the Egyptians. And they would give them Fridays off early from the classes to go to mosque because Fridays
But no, they'd
is
go
the big one.
shopping.
No,
They'd
they
go
go to
shopping.
they no they, yeah shopping for women at the strip clubs over in Lexington, not Lexington, Yeah, Lexington. I think Western Kentucky. Where is it? Lexington? Yeah. They go to Lexington. And I was stuck on because all the officers go through, the junior officers, you go through on duty for emergencies or for car wrecks, whatever. There always has to be at least one officer on duty and a couple sergeants, and it's rotating at every base until when you get hit captain, then you're immune to it already. So junior lieutenants, senior lieutenants, and yeah, and I'm it was my day when some friggin' Egyptian captain wrapped his car around a telephone pole coming back from Lexington, drunk out of his mind, flying down Dieway 40. So was it Dieway
You got
40?
Lexington, Frankfort, and then Louisville's farther west.
Louisville. That's it. I'm sorry, not Lexington. Louisville. Yeah, Knox is west of. It's about 40 miles west of Louisville. So yeah, I was saying Lexington. It was Louisville. It was Louisville. But yeah, so they drank like fish, man. They were so bad about it. Holding them down till nobody's looking. There's a bottle there, gone.
I've seen all that with, when we did the anti-terrorism assistance training program as well. And again, the Egyptians were the worst abusers.
Oh
They'd show up, they wouldn't attend class, they'd go shopping. So.
But well, hopefully for them, they don't have to fight the Israelis. So I don't know. That's they're on their de murder, death, kill list, along with Turkey. What'd you think of that gift that Erdogan gave everybody on from the NATO summit?
What do you mean?
So Erdogan gifted everybody, that was all the country leaders in NATO, he gifted them a revolver with six live rounds.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Really?
I'm thinking, my idea on this is he's taken a chapter out of a Hitler's book. So in case the Red Army tanks are rolling down your street and you don't have anything else, break in case of emergency, load, plow your don't get taken prisoner.
Man, I
That's
didn't
what I'm
realize you did
thinking.
that.
Maybe
That's yeah, that's sort of a funky gift to give, for sure.
So he had a bunch of metrosexual men who just got pistols. They don't know what to do with. That was.
Boy, no, that's well, that's something Trump's not going to keep at his bedside.
Yeah,
So,
that did you see the oh God, did you see the video? I guess it was the Iranians that put it out. We're gonna get you, Trump. It doesn't matter, you're in a plane, you're in a train, you're in your car, we're gonna get you one way or the other. They are feeding the paranoia.
it is. Yeah, this is well, Trump has really made a disastrous decision to restart this war,
Oh yeah.
because he's, it's like you've been in a gun battle, and let's say you're using like an M16, an M4, and you started off with 20 magazines, 30 rounds in each magazine. Well, after the first phase of the war, you've shot from that 20, you're now down to six magazines left. So you've expended the majority of your firepower. Now you restart the war and you got less firepower. So already in the past 3 weeks, the United States had withdrawn the B-52s from the UK. They've withdrawn F-15s from Jordan and F-22s from Jordan or from Israel, one or the other. So they've now got less aircraft, and the real kicker, the HIMARS right now, the only thing it can launch, they can from if it's positioned in Bahrain, or even if it's positioned Qatar, the only missile that it can fire that's got the range to reach Iran is the PrSM, the Precision Strike missile.
How many
What's
are
the
there?
problem there? Lockheed Martin's only 56.
That's it.
That's for fiscal year 2027. That's all. Fiscal year 27. Lockheed Martin produced only 56.
Wow.
So, yes, you could say there's some limited, a few more ATACMs, except the problem is the ATACMs only fly half the distance, only about 150 miles tops. So the distance from, say, Qatar across to the other side is barely like 150 miles. So, you're right at the extreme limit of the ATACMs. So the ATACMs not really an option. Then that leaves them to launch from the aircraft, JASSMs or Tomahawks. And the problem with the JASSMs and Tomahawks, those inventories are being deleted as well, and they don't have an alternative supply system in place that will allow immediate replacement. So, but plus the Tomahawk needs 18 different rare earth minerals, and China's already holding up on those rare earth minerals. So this is, they got a big problem on the
Yeah, they
supply
do.
side. And
Holy crap.
this is, it's really is biting them in the ass.
Well, have you seen that video from Professor Postol when he was going over hit rates for the
I
PAC-3?
saw that with Danny Day. I saw the one with Danny Davis.
Yeah, that one.
So, yeah,
Four,
and I
three,
thought that
four
was,
percent.
again, it showed that yeah. And on top of it, they're basically almost out of that missile,
Right.
the PAC-3, that is the air defense missile variant. And again, it's constrained supply chain constraints, coupled with the production process is pretty slow. They can make, potentially, like one, two a week, may or one a week, I guess. One and a half. They're not producing, thousands of these at all. So,
Wow.
here's the real dilemma the United States has now picked. They say their goal, and think back to your military days, your goal is to degrade the Iranian defenses along the Strait of Hormuz that are used to fire at ships that are trying to violate the strait, trying to sail through the Omani lane of the strait. Well, what do you use? Well, the Iranians have a layered defense. They've got underwater drones. They've got mini submarines, a few of those. They've got the surface level water driven drones. They've got speedboats with anti-ship missiles. Then they have coastal defense cruise missiles. Then they are, and again, these are scattered. There's a 200-mile perimeter north to south, from the north part of the strait to the southern part of the strait, which means the United States is having to literally try to bomb 1,000 targets, or let's call it 700 targets. But it's not so. The U.S. doesn't have the size, the Air Force size, to attack all those targets at once. So, and it's going to attack. It will destroy, degrade some, but the Iranians turn around and replace it because they have replacements. And a lot of these systems are buried in caves that
Yeah.
the United States can't damage.
But
Now,
here's
look
one
at it from
more.
the Iranian standpoint. Huh?
If you look at it too, it's cup shaped, the territory on the
Yeah.
Iranian side. So if you're coming in any of that
Yeah.
point, they can get you from multiple directions.
Yeah. Well, now look at it from Iran. What is their tactical situation? What are they looking at? They only have to attack 10 targets max to render the U.S. ability to attack Iran inert, because there are two, distance drones and combat aircraft. There's some air refueling that goes out of Ben Gurion, but the Israelis now are bitching about using those air refuelers or allowing them into Israel. So you got the two bases, Mawafiq al Salti and the Prince Hassan Air Base in Jordan. Then you go to Oman, you got the Duqm Naval Logistics Base that's used to resupply and support aircraft, U.S. aircraft carriers. You got Al Dhafra Air Base in Emirates that has some use by the U.S. military, as well as there's an oil refinery there that is used to produce the diesel and or the aviation fuel the U.S. so desperately needs.
Right.
When Iran takes that out, the U.S. is screwed.
Oh, yeah.
You got Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar. You've got the Fifth Fleet headquarters in Bahrain and the Al Isa Air Base in Bahrain. You got the Ali Salem Air Base in Kuwait, and you've got a ground base from which some of the missiles, or I guess from the what's left of the PRSM, they're lost. That's it. So from a tactical standpoint, you're the Iranian military planner, man. All you have to do is just hit the same damn targets over and over and over and over, and, yep. and eventually you're going to wear them out.
Well, there was a report that said
the United States is going to wear itself out trying to attack 1,000 different targets.
Yeah. Well, there was a report that came out when the ceasefire first came on. 288 buildings partially or fully destroyed.
Yeah.
288. That's pretty much everything on those bases.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, again, would you rather be sitting in Iran's position to being able to retaliate with ballistic missiles that the U.S. can't stop and to hit very specific targets? Because it's not like the United States is operating from 500 different locations. That would be a different, you know, that'd be a different challenge.
Right,
or
right.
even 100 locations. Hell, even 50 locations. But we're talking 10. You know,
yep.
that is beyond manageable for Iran.
Well, did you hear, I don't know if you ever followed him, professor, otherwise known as high school teacher, Zhang. The Chinese guy that just appears out of nowhere. He's so full of shit. But so he came up with this doozy that Trump has assembled an army of 650,000 combat troops, not just troops, but combat troops. He's hiding them somewhere, and they're waiting for winter, so it'll be nice and cool when they march in.
He didn't say that, did he?
He did. And a combat troop, so you need to know, like 3 million supply and support troops, and he's hidden them in the age of satellites. He's hidden them somewhere. I guess they're all under a canvas. We're a mountain. You don't see us.
that is the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard. But again, he doesn't know any better. He has no idea. He doesn't know a damn thing about intelligence, about military operations. I think anybody that gives him the time of day is a disgrace.
And he's everywhere. I mean, quite literally, he is everywhere. And when he puts out, I mean, this is the guy that was talking about Pax Judea is going to take out the whole Middle East and North Africa. It's all going to be under Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, whichever you consider the capital. And the guy, I mean, the guy is, yeah. He's getting, I don't know who's pushing him. I don't know who's behind him, but.
Yeah, that's what's so odd is that he's getting such attention.
I know.
Good Lord.
It is. It absolutely is. It's an amazing thing. But, yeah.
Yeah, because right now, 650,000, that I think that's actually the current active duty strength of the U.S. Army plus the Marine Corps.
I think it was actually 450, 540. I might be wrong. I wonder how much it is.
The U.S., I think, is around 450 to 460, the U.S. Army. And the Marine Corps, I thought, was around 160.
Well, let me check.
That's about 620. Double check that right now.
Yeah, how many service... And in U.S. Army 2026. Okay, so the U.S. Army is 454,000. The whole U.S. military is 1.3, but the U.S. Army is 454,000. And let's see what the Marine Corps is. $172,000.
Okay, I
Yeah,
saw.
so okay,
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
six hundred
So
and twenty thousand.
if you take all of those, then you got his force that's there in hiding. Now, that means the United States has no other protection.
Wow, the Marines are that big? I was figured they were a hell of a lot smaller than that. I just never looked at the size of the Marine Corps. Wow. There's a lot more Marines than I thought there were.
I was a little surprised that it was that large, but so the Marines are there.
But then again, 454,000 U.S. Army, that doesn't mean they're combat soldiers.
Correct. Oh no, I know.
That's
Yeah,
all the
this
ash
is.
and trash. That's everything. That's, the baker, the wine maker, it's everybody out there. And then some combat soldiers. But yeah, that the guy's making these kinds of idiotic statements. He's all over the place. Somebody's pushing him hard.
Yeah, it's really absurd that he gets away with this and that he gets treated with any kind of seriousness. So,
You think he
but
may
it's
be
not.
Mossad? See, I was talking with Nima. Nima
Oh
thinks
yeah,
he's
no,
Mossad.
I think he is a deliberate information agent for Israel.
Because all of his statements, I never really listened. I mean, I listened to one of his, and I was like, yeah, okay, maybe there's some sense. Listen to the second one, and when he started talking about Pax Judea, I was like, yeah, okay, that's enough. And then I just happened to stumble across the 650,000 men somewhere in the woods. So, but yeah, he's being pushed. I mean, a lot of people we know have had had him on their shows, and apparently he's contacted them asking to be on their shows.
Well, I got contacted by, I'm not sure by him, by one of his quote representatives. And it's like, Larry, don't play that, dude.
Did a representative speak perfectly good English with maybe a
Well,
little New York?
it was an email, and I should have kept it, to just, I blew it off. And
Yeah,
so
it's amazing. Oh, I think he's absolutely a soft power agent.
well, he clearly has an agenda. But again, what I don't get is I don't care if you're Professor XYZ. If you've never held a security clearance, if you've never worked in an intelligence or in a military unit to know how they operate, to know sort of, what people do, what they say, what's sort of a normal action, what's an abnormal action, and then you all of a sudden you show up and want to be taken seriously? Really?
Yep.
This is absurd. And
Yep.
the fact that you're given any time of day for pretending that you have any kind of expertise is just, in my book, it's obscene.
Well,
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
be careful that lot of you just described.
Of course, it doesn't help that when, like, with respect to Ukraine, we've seen a number of retired generals, who were, major lieutenant generals, major generals, go on air and just say the stupidest stuff, like right now, saying that, oh yeah, well, what we need to do is a ground invasion of Iran, land troops on Karg Island. Yeah, let's do that. Let's see how that works out. Hopefully they'll put you at the front of the pack, because then
Yeah.
you ask the first question, best I've thought it through. There are only three routes in. Route number one is an amphibious landing. Well, that's out because you can't get any landing craft into the Persian Gulf without the ships getting blown to hell. That leaves you with either landing in an airplane, which again, even with a C-17, my understanding is the combat load for that is about 126 soldiers. Whereas with a C-130, it's 90. So take your pick. The C-17 is a big ass plane compared to the C-130, and you know how many troops would you need to land to take control of Karg Island? 100, you know, one plane load, or
No.
1,000, 10 plane, you know, 1,200, 10 plane loads, or do you need like 2,400? My guess is you might need more towards 2,400, but then all of a sudden, the immediate logistics requirements to sustain that many soldiers in the field, particularly in the midst of a blazing hot summer, is just,
50 degrees, 100% humidity.
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Alternative to that, Trump's just going to have to demand money from his victims, I mean his allies, and take 20% or whatever goes in.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he did propose that, didn't he?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking at, but the notion that Trump's even, you know, supposedly entertaining a ground in operation. All your, again, if it's anything like trying to insert a small unit into any of the islands, Karg, Kerch, or whatever, you know, you can't sustain them. And the Iranians made clear, you land them, we're going to kill them. The
You
only thing
know,
you're going to get back are body bags.
I mean, Trump has really got a hard on for Karg. I think he actually believes once he takes Karg, he's got all the oil. He doesn't seem to notice there's a big pipeline that runs from the mainland to Karg Island. You can see it on satellite images.
Right.
That kind of
Yeah.
means they just switch him off, maybe, kind of.
Yeah, well, he's got himself a new war, and he's fighting a new war without the capability to sustain it. You know.
This, by the way, takes back to the U.S. Congress that supposedly slapped down his War Powers Act extension to Operation Freedom, Epstein Fury 2.0. And now he's got Epstein Fury 3.0. They don't vote, he just tells them, and off he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're starting a new war. This is the old war was settled. We won that, don't you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see.
Well, he's
You
got to have
won
a new
that.
victory every week or two. Come on, he gets
So
lonely.
if you won that war, why do you need to start a new one?
Well,
That's an interesting question.
yes. Well, they got to keep the gravy train going. So, who do you think? Okay, I know you got to run here in a minute. Last question. Last question.
Sure.
Over under. Nature hates a vacuum, abhors a vacuum. Who's the next warmonger in chief to take place, to take the place
Lindsay, the
of
little
light in
lady
the
from South
loafers
Carolina.
Nancy Graham there? Yeah.
I think it's going to be Ted Cruz, but you know the
Oof.
reality is, nobody. Nobody's got the charm that Lindsay had.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I mean, Tucker made Ted Cruz look pretty stupid. So I
oh
think
my God.
that's gotta stick for a while.
Yeah. He would have made, see, this is the difference between Lindsay and Ted. Lindsay was smart enough not to go one-on-one
Yeah.
with Tucker. At least he knew and he understood. Now, that boy's got more brain power than me. Cruz is such an arrogant ass that he really thought he could handle Tucker. Man, he ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, he did.
So.
Oh, yeah, he did. My favorite line from Cruz was, "I wanted to be the best defender of Israel in the U.S. Senate." Yeah, not the interest of the people that voted for me. Screw them. They're
Yeah.
the peasants.
Yeah. What about this America First? Oh, forget about that. America's it takes a back seat to Israel. Israel's number one.
If you are a private citizen, you have absolute right to believe that.
Yeah.
But when you're a government official, an
Yeah.
elected government official, Yeah, there's the people that elected you. Why the hell aren't you paying attention to them?
Correct. Correct.
Insane, insane. So, what do you think is going to happen before our next talk? Trump expands the war. Trump loses the war.
Well, no,
Trump
I
starts a
think
war with Mars.
I think Trump's gonna he's gonna have to do another 180.
Yeah.
He can't, he's gonna find out this is not sustainable, and particular as the price of oil is gonna continue to rise. That again, that's the and it's not just the price of sweet oil. It is again, the thing people need to understand, this is a sour crude, heavy sulfur oil crisis. Without that, or without a sufficient supply of that, you're going to have deficits already with diesel, aviation fuel, and Russia ain't helping the matter because they're saying, "Yeah, we got all this diesel. Well, we're keeping it for ourselves.
Oh,
Screw you." I mean, they'll share it with China, but that's about it.
Russia always has a block on export of diesel at this time of year. It's crop season. You're either planting it or a couple of weeks later you're starting to collect it, at least in the South.
Yeah.
And everything runs off diesel. So this is nothing new. I mean, they make a big stink out of it every time. Ah, see, the Russians are running out. That's why they're not. But they do it every single day. I mean, well, every single year.
Yeah. Let me get just close with get your quick opinion on this. It looks like now with Peshkov's prior statements last week that this is now a war. It's not a special military operation. That Putin's turned the corner. And that the what Russia is going to be pursuing going forward is more on a war footing than an SMO footing. You think that's accurate?
Yeah, but it's still not a war. I mean, a war is a declaration of war. It's an actual judicial term. It's a functional ability term for the government. It may be an ATO, anti-terrorist operation.
Right.
They may be going down that route because they have intensified, but it's still not a war. War is when the government comes up and goes, "Hey, nice pickup. We need it. Here's your receipt. Go pick up some money now or at the end of all this for your truck ain't ever coming back." Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye. That's a war.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're fighting one yet. It could go there, though. It could.
Yeah, I think it's avoiding it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, even when you know you're falling into a trap, sometimes you got no choice but to step into that trap and then do the best you can with it. But that's
Yeah.
how it works.
So.
Unfortunately. Larry,
All right, buddy. I
I
gotta
know you got to
jump.
run, and I want to thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Yep. See you next Friday. I've got it down on it's on the schedule always for every Friday.
Oh,
Or every
we're
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, next
All
Tuesday.
right.
All right.
Cheers,
Bye.
man.
Yep.